At this time, Pastor Vince Scavo will give us the charge to the elder.
I'm to give the charge to the new ruling elder, and I'll do that in this company. These words are for Jim, but they're also for all elders, ruling and teaching elders present. And what we'll be looking at is the word of God through the Apostle Paul is found in Acts 20. We're going to look at verses 28 through 32, most specifically verse 28, but we'll deal with some other portions of the rest of that passage as well. Either just listen and read along to this portion of God's Word. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are being sanctified. Well, I want to focus our attention, Jim, on verse 28 and the instruction that it gives you and the instruction that it gives all elders on how to fulfill your calling to this office in a God-pleasing way. First, to guard the flock. Paul calls on the Ephesian elders to guard the flock, to guard the people of God. A sheep need to be protected. They are vulnerable. And yes, as we look at this, the first thing that ought to enter our minds is the Lord is our shepherd, and we will not want. And that is so very true. The Lord is our shepherd. And yet, part of the way in which he guards his flock is through the elders that he appoints in local congregations. And if that doesn't humble you, nothing will. Elders are called to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving the people that God has entrusted to their care. And you are to diligently be on guard. Shepherds need to be alert, and they need to be awake, they need to be reliable. And you are to be those things. Guard the people well. Second, guard yourselves. It's important to see that Paul tells the elders to be on guard for yourselves. Elders are not to think of themselves as invulnerable to attack, for we are not. In fact, down in verses 29 and 30, Paul tells the elders that savage wolves will come from among your own selves to do damage to the flock of God. Fellow elders, men in authority, will speak perverse things, he says, and lead God's people away. We need to police ourselves as elders. Now, the point of that warning is not to sow seeds of distrust in the Eastvale Session or the Presbytery or the Synod. We must trust one another. But we must also refuse to be naive about sin and the influence of sin in the church and in church leadership and in ourselves. We must also not be so focused on threats from the world that we fail to recognize threats that can come from inside the church. We must also not turn a blind eye to serious problems. Things need to be dealt with. And God's people will be blessed when we deal with them, as we protect God's people. I also believe that there is an application here to individuals. As elders are to look at themselves and guard themselves. We're not to indulge ourselves in theological strayings that we know are deviations from the faith that we confess together. Yes, be willing to correct others, but also be correctable by others, by fellow elders, as we hold one another accountable to the word and to the testimony. Third, guard all the flock. Paul goes out of his way here to tell the elders to guard all the flock. In addition, down in verse 31, he mentions that he did not cease to admonish each one. And so, Jim, do not let people fall through the cracks in this congregation. Pray for each one. Make sure that each and every one is ministered to as you are able. Take care of each of them and take each one of them into your heart. And know what's going on with them as you and the other elders do the same. And as you care for God's people here. Fourth, be among the flock. And notice that Paul reminds the elders to guard the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Yes, we oversee the people of God, but we are also among them. And so, be out there in the fields, to graze with them, fellowship with them, know them as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and not merely as overseer. Fifth, remember that it is God the Holy Spirit who has made you an elder. He has also then gifted and equipped you to do the work he has called you to do. We don't make elders. That is not what happened a few moments ago. God makes elders. We simply recognize what he has done. Now, there is great humility in that teaching. You ought to recognize that you are not up for this work apart from his calling and grace. But there is also sufficiency in that teaching. By his calling and power, you can do this in a way that pleases God, because he has called you, and he has not left you unequipped to do that job to which he has called you. Sixth, be a shepherd. In verse 28, Paul says, shepherd the church of God. Now, the verb that's translated shepherd there carries with it the complete care of the sheep, which includes giving direction, giving food, giving water. In fact, the King James Version translates that word as feed. Feed the church of God. As you and the other elders here oversee the work, make sure that the flock is fed, soundly taught and discipled in the word of God. This is a primary task of an under-shepherd, to give them milk and meat. 1 Peter 2:2 reminds believers, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And so supply that milk and supply that meat. In that same paragraph, Paul also mentions that he admonished with tears among the Ephesian congregation. Of course, we can't allow emotions to make us poor elders. But we also ought to be fully attached to one another and involved in one another. Being a good elder involves commitment and love, which is to be practiced among all believers. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. So part of being an elder is to have fervent love of the brethren. As Paul mentions, this will move you to tears. Sometimes tears of joy, sometimes tears of deep sorrow. But that's how it should be. In all of these things, you have to remember that it is your duty before the Lord to do this job well. Be diligent to see 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, be true of your ministry here. Our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines the heart. Seventh, remember the cost of the church. In our verse 28, Paul tells the elders never to forget the cost of the salvation of the people of God, the shed blood of God, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the importance that Christ places on each and every one here, and then minister to them with that in mind. John Calvin comments, Paul does not carefully urge forward the elders to do their, Paul does carefully urge forward the elders to do their duty, because the Lord has given no small pledge of his love toward the church in shedding his own blood for it. Since this demonstrates how precious it is to him, surely there is nothing which ought to more strongly urge elders to do their duty joyfully than if they consider the price of the blood of Christ. And yet keep in mind, and this is obvious, but I'll say it anyway, that no matter how prayerfully and how concerned and how engaged you become in the work and the people here as an elder, never forget that it is Christ's church. And we can never be more interested in the people, in the work here, than him. Eighth and finally, grace. In closing, we drop down to verse 32, where Paul writes, "And now I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It all comes down to grace. It begins with grace, and it's all about his grace, which is able to build you up and is able to make you a blessing. We can't do anything good apart from God's grace to us in Christ. We can't do anything helpful as elders apart from the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a good elder is certainly a call to hard work and is a huge responsibility. Yet ultimately, it is the Lord that does the work. We're very frail and imperfect vessels such as you and me and all elders who are called. And it is a joy to see the Lord work, even through our frailties, to bless his people. Grace is a wonderful thing. And the Lord will not fail to supply it in more than enough quantity to enable you to be an elder that is a blessing to the people of God here and beyond. So remain prayerful and remain grace-dependent as you take up this work, reliant on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so encouraged and happy that the Lord has called you to this office here. And I look forward to the ways in which the Lord will use you and the rest of the session here to bless the people of God that he has called to himself in Eastvale. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do praise you and thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you that the ways in which you shepherd your people involve the calling of under-shepherds to be faithful to your calling, to your word, and to care for the sheep. We thank you for your call upon Jim. Thank you for the ways in which you have gifted him to take up this calling and do it in a way that honors you and blesses your people. So we ask that you might fill him with strength and with your blessing as he takes up this work, and that he, and along with the other members of Session here, we continue to bless your people and to shepherd them in your grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.